Hi, everyone. This is Scott Carley, College of Exploration, and it's December the 11th, 2012. And I want to welcome everyone to this call. As several of you know, Tamara, unfortunately, is having to stay with her daughter today, and so we're not quite sure what's happening there, but we certainly wish them absolutely the best. So I will be hosting today, and as Tamara usually does, and I do too, is ask everyone if there are any announcements, whoever wants to jump in, that'd be great. Any announcements?
Scott, I have a couple. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave early today, if you guys would indulge me. Go ahead.
Yeah, jump.
So,
does that
a couple
mean you're
going
to give a quick report on AGU first, too?
That was going to be part of what I was going to do, and then
good.
It up beyond that. So, a couple things. One is the, I'm assuming most of you guys saw the email chatter, and I think Karen, you were the one who opened this door first. Was the NGSS review for the last public review is going to happen in early January. So I guess the network, in the past we've done reviews and spun out a quick kind of synopsis and support of that. I would assume that there's going to be very little change between now and the final release, which is going to be in March. So we should probably just think about the community's process and all that coming up soon.
Yes.
So that's one item. Does anybody want to add anything there? How we want to do that?
Yeah, we've talked. This is Scott. We've talked about this a little bit over the last couple of months. Actually, as I was mentioning earlier with Don, is we've been kind of postponing setting up presentations for November, December, and now into January, just basically waiting to set aside a couple of weeks so that we can have the kind of discussion that we had with the first review last May. So that's certainly our intention, and one thing that did come out of that discussion is that was a feeling that we probably need to have one session that kind of introduces the review process to kind of remind everyone about what the elements are and how best to look at all of the stuff. So that's just to say that it certainly is my intention, I think it is Tamara's too, that we will have a couple of weeks, a couple of Tuesdays that we focus on reviewing the Next Generation Science Standards. So
right.
That's why you're not seeing any presentations for January, because we haven't booked
right.
any. So, yes, we'll be doing that.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's clearly going to be a big part of our time
absolutely.
In early January.
Very important.
Yep.
And do I correctly guess that the level of review is going to be very low level? Meaning that we shouldn't expect much change between what's said in January and what's done in March.
Yeah, I think
this is Karen. I don't have any insights on that yet, but I'll have a chance next Monday to learn a little bit more about that from somebody on the inside. So I will convey that on
Excellent.
Once I do.
Fantastic. So, yeah, any guidance or any feedback, Karen, would be most appreciated to help us prepare.
Yep.
I am also lacking in insights. I do perhaps should give a little warning that I probably won't have the amount of time available to tie together comments and such on this draft that I did on the last one. So.
Right. Understood. But, Don, I mean, do you have a sense that you've been involved in this process quite a bit over the years. I mean, we shouldn't be expecting to do extensive review here.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, my guess is just based on the timeline more than anything that I've heard from folks is that they are going to release something that is going to be pretty darn close to what they think is the final draft.
Right.
But I really haven't. I just based that on math. The
yes.
date work close to March.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be, really open to a lot of change here.
So what we'll probably be looking at is sort of the most egregious errors, things that really need to be changed because they set in motion too many things. Not where there should be, is kind of thing. so that we make sure that everything is, you know, as best we can make it. But it sounds like we're not rewriting anything.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Likely. That makes
okay.
sense.
So, you know, is anybody else on the call, did anybody else on the call attend AGU or the Climate Literacy and Energy Literacy Summit that NCSE held?
I'm here, Frank. This is Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hey.
So, but Kristen, you only came in for the summit, is that right?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So the you know as you guys know, the AGU sessions this year were somewhere in the order of 170 oral sessions and posters. It was you know, six different themed approaches. It was extensively explored, and a lot of people very much valued the findings and the contributions of the Literacy Network and its community to ADU. Some sessions were much more well attended because they were closer to the ADU community's approach, which is much more on the communication side. There were other sessions that were outside the climate literacy sets that were very relevant to us. Mark McCaffrey had a confronting denial session that was overflowing participation. So, I mean, but that's to be kind of expected because AGU, the 22,000 people that descend on San Francisco every December, are much more likely to go there than the long-term, formal, informal education side. That's not as natural a fit for them. But that shouldn't make us feel bad that they, ones are more attended than others. Like Brian Reiser gave a really excellent overview of the next generation of science standards and the NRC process, and there were only like 25 people in the room at AGU because they just don't understand the strategic nature of this. I will tell you that the next generation of science standards in all the sessions I attended was front and center of that conversation, and very relevant to what everybody was talking about and seeing as a very important opportunity for what we're trying to accomplish. So
there was a pretty good crowd at GSA on the session on the standards.
What was that, Don?
There was a pretty good crowd, and Michael Weiss session did a presentation on the NGSS at GSA, and it was part of a session called something like the Next Generation Science Standards and Educational Outreach or something like that. But there were more than 25 people in that room by quite a bit.
Good. So, I think that the literacy community was very well represented, and I think, I mean, what I heard from AGU is that they were very thankful to, as we called her, the super convener, Tamara, for doing all that work to make that happen. And I think that it's a good step in the right direction in our growth at the AGU over the years. So one of the things that is an outstanding question from, I know that the Tri-PIs, the Tri-Agency, the grants group met there, and one of the things that they're looking for, and I think that the Literacy Network is well positioned to support, is these 170 things just happen, plus the related ones, and yet there's very little for the non-participating or non-attending members to actually benefit from that directly, because we don't really have social media worked out here. I think how would somebody sitting in the room share their perceptions, their findings, the presentations, all that stuff? We've not really worked that out. We don't have a Climate Literacy Network Twitter feed or Facebook page, and it's the tools we have are a little bit more cumbersome for the network. So it's an ask that was talked about as to whether or not we could support some of that. I don't know if there's anybody in the community who's really very nimble in the social media space. I'm definitely not that person, but I could see some some enhancements to the way our community works that would be valuable. So, you know, I don't know if there's any thoughts on perspectives on that piece.
I think, is Tamara on the phone? This is Martha.
Okay. Is Tamara on the phone? No, no, she won't be on because she's let us know that her daughter is in had surgery and she's with her daughter.
Oh. Well, I'm happy to be on, you know, we talked about having, you know, a communication kind of committee, but I think Tamara, maybe we need to be in that conversation because I think she's had plans for developing a website, but I might not know as much about this as anyone else, but I do have a media company. I'm always happy to help.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Scott. I can confirm that there certainly has been some discussion around how to really use the website more as a basis for the community, and certainly we talked about social media. As always, it becomes a question of time and money, so it hasn't been a focus for us, but hopefully in the new year we can do some more with it.
Does the clean Facebook page? Somebody does. Because I know that I like it.
Well, it's not me.
It's sporadically, I mean, it's like sporadically posted to, but there is a clean Facebook.
You know, I think, wasn't that Mark that really promoted that?
We can look into this, but when I talked to Tamara about this, she really saw, because we've had this kind of multiple personality issue between the Climate Literacy Network and CLEAN.
Yeah.
And when I talked with Tamara about it, she was like, well, that's really what the CLEAN Facebook page is supposed to be, but, you know, I don't know if all of us are thinking about how to socialize and share. Mm-hmm. You know, the website's an important piece, but it's a harder space to share than social media. I mean, you know, Facebook has SlideShare, which is really easy to upload your slides, share them, you know, and then socialize them.
Yeah, I love SlideShare, and Andrew Repkin always puts his new things up on SlideShare. I just think it's got a bad name, but wish it was called something else, but it's pretty amazing because the spiders can search all the presentations for words, and you have better search engine optimization.
Right. So, but I think, you know, somewhere in the near term, we should probably explore, because all those, I mean, I was sitting as a convener of these sessions looking at the computer with all these presentations, you know, sitting there, and I'm thinking, if, you know, why aren't these shared with our larger community that aren't at AGU? You know, even if it was 1,000 people at AGU, there's a lot more people who would benefit from this thinking. I think probably spending some time in the near term thinking about how best to position all these things and how would we share this growing body of work both domestically and potentially even internationally would be a good thing for us to do.
Yeah.
Especially easy to like, I'm sitting in there with a smartphone. Can I take a photograph of somebody's work and post it onto Facebook, you know, right off the bat?
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so that's one thing that some of the leadership of the agencies were asking, you know, would be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably, Kristen, you know, we should move over to the summit, which I think a lot of you guys would be interested in. And there's going to be a, I'm assuming some of you knew about this, but I see this as a very powerful and important next step in our community's effort to kind of grow our effectiveness, because the NCSE, not the National Science and Environment Council, but the National Science Education.
What's Center for Science Education.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, I've got too many acronyms in my head right now. But the
Mark is at.
The where Mark is now, and they've stepped into this space. But you know, our community has recognized that the federal funding for this type of work is decreasing, and at its height, it was, you know, amazing, but insufficient to the work before us. So, you know, I think that we've acknowledged that the philanthropic, corporate, non-federal funders, even private donors or the people giving gifts to do this work, really haven't been focused in this area. They've been focused in policy and decision support and things of that nature, and they haven't really appreciated and valued the constituent engagement, you know, in educating the nation piece. And, you know, these things are related to each other, obviously. So, you know, NCSC led a small summit of about 45 people for 2 days or 2.5 days in Berkeley this last weekend to see could we begin to lay out the case for specific action, specific activities, specific important level work that would require sizable investments that would be greater than what the federal government could do. So there's going to be the development of a lot of strategic thinking, a lot of good pieces. Let me join with noise. But anyway, there's going to be a white paper
that's going to
be written and grown. So, Kristen, you want to, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave in a couple minutes, but I mean, you know, I think where this goes from here, I think that there's an intellectual community at the in the Cyber Literacy Network that's important to helping us sharpen that and making the case.
What if the whole lower area looks like ocean, and then it looks more like...
Whoever's got their phone on speaker, could you stop interrupting this conversation?
So you're on the bottom floor, you're sitting in the ocean. If you're on the
Martha?
Second floor, you're in the mountains. Well,
yes, Martha. Martha, I wonder if you could mute your phone. Thank you.
There we go.
Good.
So, you know, anyway, I think the white paper that's going to be developed out of this is going to be critically important to helping us make the case to some of these funders of why the work that we've been talking about and doing for years is critically important. And some elements of our community are going to need to expand and grow those where it makes sense. But you know, we're going to need to make a very strong and compelling case.
Frank, is Mark going to be kind of convening that? I'm just kind of guessing based on
yes.
his job title. So will he be
absolutely?
Will he be drafting, or basically, what I'm really wondering is whether he'll be sending out a draft of that white paper, maybe for review by folks here, just so we can add our own 2 cents worth in. Is that something that he wants to do, or keep it kind of focused so it's very directed towards those potential funders?
You know, Scott, it's a great question. I'm not really totally sure, you know, how this will work, but you know, it's critical for. I mean, the intellectual, you know, power of this community is robust and impressive, and the people who are able to be in the room are one piece of that community. And so, I think there's probably going to be a drafting process of that, but from the people who were there. And I think NCSC, if I remember right, Kristen said that they were going to kind of take the beginning piece, but. I think that to hold it only to those who are in that in that room in those days is probably too small. Now, this is my perspective on this. It's not necessarily everyone else's perspective, but usually we try and be as inclusive as possible.
Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll check with Mark and see whether there's a good time for him to present, maybe do a session so he can talk about what is in that paper and so there's some discussion with everyone here. And that may be a couple months down the line while they're working on the draft.
And they were developing, I know, some models too, some network models and things that would be fun, good for sharing too in a call, I know.
Yep.
They were playing around with Prezi while we were there trying to get some models together.
Good.
Yeah, but Scott, your underlying point I completely agree with.
Yep.
I think that you know, widening the circles once you've got a kind of a good starting place is a great thing.
Great. I've got a note of it.
So before I have to scoot, does anybody have any questions about this that, you know, I can help with? And then Kristen, you can, if you wouldn't mind, helping that conversation go further.
Yeah, if there's questions.
Before you leave, Frank, is there anything else from AGU? I mean, we all got, and I'm sure from the email traffic that a lot of people watched the plenary session that Bob Watson delivered, and read the abstracts that Mark sent. Is there any other substantive message from AGU that we need to be aware of?
That's an interesting question. I guess the one other one was I think that the, from my perspective, the CSEP phase two leads, a lot of them were there. And I think that they're just getting underway and really growing their focus and their ability to implement what they said they were going to do. So I think that widened, maybe how they kind of grow their focus is and implement their programs would be good for us to know. Because Michelle, I can't remember his last name, who is he's doing the stakeholder engagement in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
He had some really interesting findings there and perspectives about how they're moving forward on that. Or, the Made Clear initiative out of Maryland and Delaware that are really very focused on specific things, and they were very engaged and well-represented in that work. So I don't know if there are any other big pieces of this that I caught that I was principally interested in where the CSEP Phase 2s were going and the NGSS, how we were going to deploy that and support it. I don't know of any other papers that were presented that really have new findings. I think that the most telling thing that came out of this is, we've known what to do for a while, and there wasn't anything new that really said we got to do something radically new. But if we don't start putting some of these things into action, it's going to be very hard for us to make progress.
Yep, and that was the clear message I got from Bob Watson's presentation.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Sure. I mean, the last thing.
When you just mentioned the stakeholder engagement, Michelle, can somebody send me out an email about that? I wasn't quite sure what you were talking about.
So under I can send the link to the awards from CSEP Phase 2 out of NSF. There were 6 selected projects, and one of them was all about decision-maker and stakeholder engagement in San Diego as a model for how to engage key influentials and stakeholders in the community to help them understand the issues of climate change and how to move that forward. They were funded. Michelle, I can't remember, he's at Scripps. I don't remember his last name, Ralph. I think it starts with a B. But I can send that link to you. But ultimately, they're keenly interested in a transferable model to other constituents and other locations, cities, for example. Would this work, the model, but not the same implementation of that model in, say, Chicago or New York City or other places of that nature. But obviously the players would have to change and how would that be done? So anyway, but that's, I can send a link to that work. But I think, the other piece of this is that so many things are going on in our community that a lot of us don't know. And I think that's part of, there's just so many pieces to track.
Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm going to send out an email inviting everybody to the Oceans 13, where we're going to really focus on ocean acidification and climate change, too. And maybe Michelle, I'll try to reach out to Michelle at Scripps, because they're our co-sponsors for Oceans 13.
Right. And obviously with that, you would also want to pick up, the Noki, Scott, do you know how to say that? Have you been working with those? The Billy Spitzer New England Aquarium Consortium of
Aquarium. I don't know what the acronym is. Yeah, out of New England Aquarium.
Yeah.
That's the one of the other six CSEP2s.
Right. But also Alejandro.
Mm-hmm.
God, I got to get better at names.
Granholm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was at the summit meeting, and he was bringing, even though they didn't get funded, they are continuing to do a great deal of work in the zoo and aquaria consortium on climate change, and obviously ocean acidification shows up very strongly there. That's the thing, is that they're really good people that need to be involved in these kinds of engagements.
Michelle's last name was Boudrias. Boudrias?
Yeah. He's a French Canadian.
Yep, Boudria, then maybe.
I'm not even trying.
Oh.
So, hopefully you guys will find some of this is useful to report out.
Yeah, it certainly suggests a number of presentations that would be nice to have if folks are sufficiently along in this CSEP process to want to talk a little bit about things with the rest of us.
But you know, I think, Scott, I completely agree with what you just said, but there's another piece to this, which is, how do we self-report out on what we're doing, where we're doing it, who we're focused on, some sharing space, like a LinkedIn group or something,
uh-huh.
where if you said, who's working in this region or who's working on ocean acidification or what projects relate to, you name it, that we have better understanding and sharing of what we're all about. Something that hasn't really been, we haven't gotten there yet. It's kind of related back to the Facebook, Twitter, social media space, but there are, I don't know if there's tools out there that people use to...
We certainly looked at those kind of things. I remember, about 4 years ago, essentially before the Clean Project was funded, and when that happened, it kind of took a little bit of the air out of everything else that we were doing. Many of us got really quite focused on that project. But yeah, I absolutely, we have to do that. I certainly made a note to myself, and I'll have a discussion with Tamara. There has, we've talked about the website stuff, but I think the social media stuff and creating that shared space, it's an issue that's come up within the ocean literacy community, too, and we're always sort of trying to figure out how do we keep working together. So, we absolutely need to find some new ways.
So, Scott, obviously in there is a geographic component to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a topical, like ocean acidification. But there are many communities working on these things, and there's so many missed opportunities. It's really an area for added value.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm just saying these things. I don't know. I haven't heard of any solutions or how you would do that work. I mean, in some ways, the trace catalog out of that NASA is leading is sort of related to this, but doesn't have it all worked out either.
Yeah, and you have to know what that is and how to get to it. So,
and it doesn't include us non-federal folks.
Exactly right. And not everybody who's in federal has actually put their content there. So it's an incomplete solution, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think we're all the way there by any stretch of imagination.
Yeah.
Anyway, just. If we're going to really scale up our activities that are implied in this white paper, we're going to have to do a better job in this space explicitly.
Yep.
And who actually does that work? How they get supported to grow the community, its effectiveness. There's actually one other thing I would highlight. An email came out from Allison Anderson. She was at the summit meeting, she sent an email to the network. Regarding the Doha Article 6 activities.
Yes.
And so one of the things that was interesting there was these issues we tend to focus on within the U.S. aspect, but there's if we are thoughtful about this, that there's no reason why our practices, as we develop them, aren't valuable to the international community. I mean, ocean acidification is not something unique to the United States by any stretch of the imagination. So, just wanted to put that in the context. There are some platforms for sharing in the international space, but you know, we should be sensitive to that aspect as well.
I wish that we could insert some communications into these disaster relief areas, because here in New York, all the Sandy relief activities are, you know, rushing Christmas presents to all these people who lost their homes. And, you know, I wish there was some way that there could be some climate literacy lessons learned, where instead of just rushing all these gifts and stuff from China to all these poor kids who lost their home, I wish that we would have some kind of a focus whenever there is a disaster to be ready, like the Red Cross, with information too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really feel like a lot of climate change education came out of Sandy, for instance.
I'm absolutely, and this came up in some of the conversations at the summit and AGU. But I mean, we know for certain that we have to be proactive with a lot of this, but it actually gets into a better understanding of the community of practice in these areas. How, if somebody developed something for Sandy, how would the people who would actually be engaging with those constituents or those members of their networks, how would they know about it? I mean, we've got some upstream issues that have to be worked out for the next event like Sandy. If we didn't do a good job in Sandy, how will the next wildfire, heat wave, mega droughts, the list goes on.
Yeah.
We weren't ready for this one. I think that's fair to say. But how would we be more ready for the next one? And so on. Because, people are rebuilding right now in places that perhaps are not the most prudent mm-hmm. places to rebuild. Or the rebuilding, assuming the same the past as opposed to the future.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of complexity here, and I know some of that work is going on, but I think there's a lot more we could do to support that initiative in time. New York is very resource intensive.
Do we have any connections, for instance, with the Red Cross?
NOAA does through the National Weather Service. We have a memorandum of understanding between us too. But is that you, Martha?
Yeah, that's me. I'm at the Explorers Club on mute.
So in order to support them, what would we hand them, and how much of it would we hand them, and how would we get it to them, and how would we produce it? I mean, we just don't have the capabilities to move these things forward, unfortunately. One thing we talked about in the summit was if we were going to rapidly customize, say, clean resources and wrap them together with other activities or visualizations or maps or interactives or tools to help people with regard to Sandy, we don't have that rapid team. To say we had something in the Clean Collection that was a great resource on inundation and risk. Say we had that, but the case study was about Norfolk. How would we customize that with the best information and deploy that in New York, in the New Jersey and Connecticut region? We know the developers are in our community, but they're not resourced to be paid, and we don't have the marketing strategies down in order to deploy it. There's some customized work that would be, if we wanted to change that to another area, we're not positioned to do that yet. So,
Frank, I mentioned that since I've been reviewing material for Clean, we've actually started to see resources that were very directly related to Sandy, and they're actually in our review process since I just reviewed some over the weekend. So there's some materials are coming out. Basically, I think it's, in fact, NOAA stuff, just looking at the kind of satellite data that was available and sort of talking about the various components. So it actually was quite useful. So we'll try to get those out, but, of course, Clean is, can do what it can do, and, we're going to be shifting the scale that we're able to review things. So. That's certainly one vehicle, but you're absolutely right. The bigger question is how do we get these kinds of things out in other venues, not just simply off a couple of websites.
But Scott, do you agree that some customized development would be valuable?
Okay.
Because we've talked about this in the clean community forever, that sometimes you get a resource that is close, but some customization would improve it greatly. Obviously, there's copyright and all that kind of stuff involved in this, but I mean, ultimately, we're here to serve our constituents and our audience.
Well, we have talked about, and I know you've been deeply involved in this, Frank, in terms of creating kind of a common curriculum. We've talked about, you know, if we were able to pick and choose from some of the best resources to develop a full curriculum, what would that look like? That's certainly one thing we could do, not only as a curriculum in a K-12 situation, but even for, you know, I don't know, for Red Cross workers, so that there's they understand some of the issues that are involved there.
Right.
The other thing,
I know there's a lot of international resources, too, because that was actually something that was really interesting, talking to Allison, who is the woman with the Brookings that we were just talking about, is abroad, you know, internationally, they frame climate change. It comes in through disaster management. That's where it's actually climate change education is housed.
Exactly.
And so it's a different perspective, but it's...
Well, and, you know, that may be something that, you know, Mark and NCSE and the white paper want to talk about, is that maybe that's part of the shift that needs to happen here, is to start seeing this in terms of, extreme events, disaster relief, even risk management. I mean, all of those other kinds of ways to look at this. Infrastructure planning, that we frame it from that perspective, and maybe that's a way to attract more private investment. And
I absolutely agree that it also opens the door to very strong relevance, and you know, it's bounded, so that if, you know, we're talking about a unit that we customize for middle school, for high school, for undergraduates, they're differentiated, obviously, but you know, this is a really fertile space.
Yes.
That I think we as a community still need to think about how do we respond and how do we proactively plan for being successful in these spaces.
I think it's the mitigation perspective, isn't it?
Okay.
That we have talked about from time to time, that the Extension Service fellow up in
Jay Meinhard.
Wisconsin.
I think it was Jay
has
talked
about
that.
Jay.
Yeah.
Which mitigation are we talking about? Mitigating the effects or mitigating the cause?
Well, that's my beef, is that to mitigate the effects is putting blinders on. But
what do you mean putting the blinders on?
Well, I think I don't want to turn people's attention totally away from the cause by just focusing on dealing with the effects.
So, I mean, I think the best perspective on this that I've heard is the Chicago Climate the Climate Action Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the way they do it there is they merge the adaptation and mitigation into kind of a one strategy, because, you know, we've already committed to change. People are going to have to they're going to have to change the way they live and operate. That's adaptation. To be more resilient and less vulnerable, right? At the same time, they have to understand that the mitigation piece is critical, so that we don't create situations where we're having to adapt to more than we can. And that's a different kind of failure. So, I mean, they're coupled.
They are.
I wouldn't say, you know, helping people understand their risk if they're living in a certain community in Brooklyn is totally shifting their focus away from mitigation, but, I mean, you kind of want both. And how you balance these two but I think the strategy of they're always coupled together. It's just a matter of what leads what and what's the predominant piece. But it's not one or the other.
Yeah, and I think that's become the developing consensus around folks who do work on cities. You know, as I have worked here in Seattle, is that the two cannot be separate. In many ways, there are actions that one can take that have both adaptation and mitigation impacts. So you want to try to find things that somehow, you know, balance the two and give us the best results. So, I mean, you can think of energy use can be both mitigation and adaptation. So so energy conservation, energy efficiencies are obviously a major piece here. Good. Lots of work.
So is this So unfortunately, guys, I think I probably should scoot back over to the previous meeting I'm supposed to be in. But there's a lot to talk about here.
Yes, there
Hopefully
is.
We can figure out how to move some of this forward.
Yes. Thanks so much, Frank. Really appreciate your input.
Thank you, guys. Sorry I've not been available recently.
Always appreciative of it.
Thank you, guys.
Very good.
Take care.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
You too.
Yeah. So any other things?
Before we leave curriculum,
yeah, absolutely.
I just want to ask a quick question. There's a new climate change unit that the University of Michigan is looking for pilot teachers for the rest of this school year, and mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's been sent to this network or not.
Has anyone seen that? I don't remember.
I've seen it, but I bet you and I are in the same other networks, Karen. So.
Okay. Well,
I
will send it out after the call so that everybody has that information. I didn't want to duplicate.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it, but it could be there. I could have missed a few things.
It's an NSF-funded curriculum unit that is both middle school and high school and addresses climate change and the impacts of climate change on biological communities.
Yeah, I seem to remember that I was involved with the CSEP-1 that was in the Great Lakes, and that sounds familiar, and I think it was under development when we were working on that project. So that's great. Great to know it's ready to be tested.
Another quick thing that's a follow-up to the AGU plenary session by Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I have really been disturbed recently by all the information that I've been reading about the Keystone Pipeline decision that's coming up in January. And apparently that is currently in a decision-making process in both the White House and the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
And when people like Watson say it's time to deal with societal participation, I say to myself, yes. And I'm wondering if it's appropriate and whether there's any point in sending out information to the network about that decision and the kinds of places to which messages need to be sent, because I think there needs to be a much louder voice from throughout the country mm-hmm. of people saying to the State Department and the White House, this is folly.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yeah, definitely. I think you should send that out.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if Don's still on. He certainly talked about this on one of these calls a couple of months ago.
I'm still here, and I may have talked about it after I went to a presentation on the Alberta oil sands, which I guess is the
tar
more,
sands, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the more scientific name is oil sands, or the more current scientifically accurate.
Well, if you all are in agreement, then I'll send it out to the whole network. And what it means, I did it last night, and what it means is writing two or three paragraphs and sending it off to two website places, one for the State Department and one for the White House. So I'll just do that offline.
Yeah.
Do you need permission to put that on a clean Facebook page? That'd be a great place to put it, too.
I don't
and
do
then
Facebook.
And then
so.
I can like it. And then
I don't
can
do
set
Facebook,
it
so if somebody else wants to do it, that's fine, but I don't get involved in that, so I wouldn't know how to do it.
I have not been posting things on there. I can't even remember who does. So.
Yeah, well, I can post it on the page, but I'm not an administrator, so it wouldn't go out to everybody who's there. It would show up if people visit the page, but I don't
well,
know who the administrator.
Well, if you do that, I'll like it, and then I'll try to put it on my page, and I'll put it on the dive sites and everything.
That's a good way to do it. Good. So any other questions, comments, announcements, whatever?
Kristen, is there anything else from the summit that you want to say?
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin. If you wanted just a general overview of what it, how it was run, I could, I guess, give that. So they split folks up into different thematic groups on Saturday that were learning and literacy, technology and tools, research and evaluation, psychology and sociology, access and deployment and partnerships and collaboration, and funding and administration. So groups got together and sort of talked about those themes and what was important and resources that existed. And then the afternoon, one member from each of those groups split out into different audiences. So they had K-8 formal, 9-12 formal, post-secondary, informal, science and environmental, media and communications, policymakers and legislators, and religious and social justice organizations. There wasn't any action items that came out of it as of yet. There was an attempt to, you know, boil some things down. One thing that came up was this new, these MOOCs, massive online, who can help me with that? Massive online, it's like online courses.
Yeah.
And how useful those are. And I'm sure you know a lot about those, Scott, right? that's kind of your deal. and otherwise, I'm not sure. I guess I could respond more to specific questions. That's how it was run. It was a really fascinating group of people that got pulled together, I would say.
Kristen, did you feel like that this had some nice momentum behind it? It just seems, you know, certainly the way...
There was a real sense of urgency,
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of intrigued with. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of important people were there. There was definitely people that should have been a part of that conversation that weren't there too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would probably say that, you know, bringing this, the white paper, sort of rough for having Mark come to the present for everyone here as well to get some input would be important. I would sort of second that for Frank. I'm sorry, I'm not more verbose on it. I'm not sure what else even how to, I could jump into a lengthy thing or just sort of leave it at that at this
point.
Well,
so the purpose of bringing this group of people together was to find out the status of in all those areas that you listed, and
the goal of, and I will read it verbatim. It wasn't very long. The overall goal was to substantially and measure the outcome that would hopefully be associated with this beginning would be substantially and measurably increasing climate and energy literacy. And so involving those audiences. And so I guess I would also say the measurably piece was really important. There was also the opening night, the first night, a fellow from the Nonprofit Finance Fund spoke a little bit about models for public-private partnerships. So there was definitely a lot of talk about how to package or how to sell what we're doing and how at this point there's not necessarily an output that is interesting to funders, just to say we want people to be climate literate. And so coming up with some significant outputs. And so that discussion about disaster management we had earlier might be one way of finding, you know, something that was more fundable. People thought that was important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Great. It's really it's an exciting prospect for us to do, and it's certainly a new way for us to think about how we fund and even the nature of the work that we do in the next couple of years.
Right.
Pretty important stuff. Any other comments? We're just getting close to the top of the hour. So I'm going to suggest that we wrap up, and I'm actually not quite sure what we're going to talk about next week, but it sounds like there's quite a bit we can follow up with, and perhaps more on AGU, especially if Tamara's able to bring her perspective into this, and maybe some other folks who were there last week. And certainly the summit sounds like we need to have some more discussion around that, too.
Right, and Tamara was there as well, so she could...
Oh, she's good. Excellent.
Yeah,
so
she could talk about it as well.
Excellent.
Yep. I also, I think maybe Tamara was on the call. At one point, I had brought up that we had a delegation of high school students that we were supporting that went to Doha, and there was some interest about them presenting maybe to the network.
Yes, we
talked
about that.
That'd be great.
And so I did send, I haven't heard back. I know they just got back on Sunday, so
wow.
Should I just email you,
what
Scott, if I hear
from that would be great. I think you sent an email just letting folks know that the kids were blogging. I think you sent that around.
Yep.
Yeah, so I remember seeing that. But, yes, we want to have, we would really like to have them engaged sort of after they've kind of thought about what happened at the meeting. And
yeah.
I think it's probably going to be more likely the end of January.
Okay.
Unless you think it's something that we can do quickly, whether we want to schedule something for next week or so. Though I think we probably need to talk about these two things from last week.
Okay. Well, I will let, I'm sure there's, I mean, it's the middle of the school day, so it probably would work out perfect for them.
In January, you're saying?
Anytime in this month. In January, yeah, I'm sure it would be fine.
And probably next week, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into finals and stuff, so probably in January would be better for them anyway.
Well, I'll put that on the list, and I know we also had a suggestion from Peg Steffen to talk about her climate stewards program.
Yeah,
so we want to do a schedule something like that in the new year, too. So those are at least two programs and then a large review process coming up in the new year. So stay tuned, folks.
Thank you.
Okay,
obviously, we're not going to be twiddling our fingers in 2013.
If we get through whatever, the 21st or 22nd, yes.
Yeah.
Very
thanks,
good.
Scott.
Yeah, thank you all. And we'll talk with you next week, I hope. Very good.
Thanks, Scott.
Good.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye now.